The MMA on the Rocks podcast is intended for adult audiences and does contain some explicit content. So if you are not an adult, please make sure your parents do not know you are listening to this and do not repeat anything you hear on this show in front of them. Also a reminder that even if you fight recklessly, please remember to drink responsibly. Now that we have that out of the way, let's get to the show. Welcome to MMA on the Rocks. My name is Bill Welter. You are listening to episode 266 of the podcast, or you're joining us live on YouTube, Twitter. Are we back on Facebook? I don't know. It looks like the Facebook ban may be over. We served our sentence. I think we're back on Facebook. I don't know. If you happen to be watching on Facebook, let me know if we're on there. I guess whatever internet crime we committed, the sentence has been served. Today is Monday, December 6th. For those of you keeping track, we are coming off of UFC Vegas 44, I think. Jose Aldo versus Rob Font. Bantamweight main event. Awesome card. Before we get into any of that, let me introduce. All the way from New Jersey, with a fresh haircut, the birthday boy in a few short days. So I'm going to have to publicly wish him a happy birthday now, because we're not going to be on the air on his birthday, probably. Jeff, the Animal Wilson. Jeff, how you feeling? Because I'm a birthday boy. I'm a birthday boy.
Oh, man. Bill, I feel awesome. I'm turning 30 on Saturday, and I feel good about it. You know, when I turned 20, I was broke and I didn't know what I was doing. And while I'm still broke and I still don't know what I'm doing, there's a plan for a couple of projects. I love where I'm working at. And what was I going to tell you, Bill? Regarding the Facebook thing, the real question is, do we want to be back on Facebook? Because if they're not going to have us, if they're not going to cater to us, do we want to even waste our time?
Listen, Facebook, I know you're listening. Fucking ban us for life, man. I don't give a shit. But, 30 is a big milestone for a lot of people. I spent my 30th birthday in Jamaica. The wife surprised me with a trip there, made it happen. And I'll tell you, I'll be perfectly candid with you, Jeff. It was one of the only times in my life that I enjoyed smoking marijuana. A lot of people assume, like, because I drink a lot of alcohol, that, like, I'm also a drug guy. People like they don't even ask me if I smoke. They're like, oh yeah, what do you do? Indica? Sativa, what are you into? It's not like, do you smoke? It's what do you smoke? But not a big weed guy. I take CBD. Don't have a CBD sponsor for the show. Had a few offers, but they were just like products I couldn't get behind. In any case, Jamaica, fun time. But 30 is a big milestone for a lot of people. You know what else is a big milestone, Jeff? I'll tell you what I'm drinking out of right now. Look at this beauty right here.
Oh, nice. It finally came in, Bill, after 13 weeks of anticipation.
It was worth the wait, I gotta say. This is a fine piece of merchandise right here that I bought from Jeff's soccer team fundraiser several weeks ago. And I also got a t-shirt for the little one. It's a little big for her now, but, you know, she's growing like a weed, Jeff. So she'll be fitting in it in no time.
Yeah, she'll fit into it probably by next week, the way she's growing. But, Bill, my stuff came in, and I'll be honest with you, some of it looked a little bit better on the website itself. But, Bill, it went for a good cause. It'll help out the girls next season a little bit. And I got a lawn chair. So
I like I like how this came out. This is a nice, it's like a Yeti tumbler. Oh, I'm drinking water out of it. My whiskey's over here. Don't worry, folks. I'm drinking whiskey even though it's Monday. And we'll get into that a little later. But yeah, fine product. It was worth the wait. Supports a good cause. You know, I support the kids doing the athletics. It's something I like to see. It means they're not wasting their lives on TikTok and PlayStation and YouTube, whatever the fuck else kids are doing these days. It's good to see they're out there getting some exercise. So I support that. And I can prove I support that with this tumbler.
Yeah, thanks, Bill. Bill, it's funny you mentioned that because next Wednesday, the 15th, is our awards ceremony. And I was talking to the head coach about it today, and she says to me, "Jeff, I'm glad you reminded me because you have a speech that day." And I was like, "Wait, what?" She's like, "Yeah, you got to give out the awards, and then you got to say something."
Yeah.
I was like, I can't just give out the awards. Why do things need to be said that I haven't said?
No, Jeff. You should have a speech prepared whether it was on the itinerary or not.
Oh, man.
You're a voice of the people in the MMA community. You could handle a soccer award speech.
I suppose so. I was just going to talk about the progression throughout the season because, Bill, we're not a big sports town, right? So, unfortunately, no wins this season. We did get one tie, which was nice. But I think I'm going to go with just progress. You know, for me, and I guess this is kind of practice, but for me, the most proud that I was, the proudest that I was just having other coaches come up to me, like playing them the second time and having everybody say, you know, "Coach, the team looks so much better than that first game." And, you know, we were scoring on teams like the first couple of games we got blown out. But, we eventually started scoring on teams, started giving teams more of a fight, let them know that, you know, they weren't going to just run over us. So for me, that was the most proud that I was the whole season, was just having other coaches come up to me about a team that I got to work with and having them say, "Coach, the team looks so night and day from the last time we played you guys."
Yeah, for sure. That's got to be a great feeling. And I'll give you, I guess, a little bit of, I don't want to say inspiration because I'm talking about myself, but when I coached high school lacrosse my first year, same thing, zero wins. And then my third year, we went to sectionals. So, it's an awesome thing to be able to, you know, cultivate the athletes and see them develop. And, you know, as long as you're passionate about it and, you know, they see that you're working hard for them, they want to work hard for you and you build that relationship. Coaching is an awesome thing, man. I thoroughly enjoy coaching. It's something that's kind of always been, I guess, in the background. Like when I was a teacher, I coached lacrosse, and now, like, as an older gentleman, I coach Muay Thai twice a week. And I just love it, man. I love when you get to see something click in somebody else and get to see them see it make sense to them. Those are the moments that I live for. I really do enjoy coaching. I enjoy coaching a lot more than I ever enjoyed competing in anything, in, you know, wrestling and MMA, kickboxing. I've never been like a very competitive guy, but I do really love that feeling of when you show something to somebody and it just clicks for them and they have this like epiphany, like, how did I never figure this out before? And you kind of show them the path to get there. It's such an awesome feeling. It's, it's up there with being a parent. You know, I get to see that every day with Ariana. You know, she's like developing new things. And like, sometimes I show her and sometimes she figures shit out on her own. Cause she's like a bright kid. But yeah, man, that's awesome. 30 years old, about to be a lot of good things on the horizon. You've accomplished a lot. You're going to get yourself that purple belt at 30. I'm feeling like, that's on the horizon.
In my 30s, hopefully, Bill. I'm not gonna lie to you, Bill. I couldn't train at all last week. There's been a stomach thing going around work, and I was going to the bathroom a lot. And like, I knew it wasn't my diet because I actually ate well last week, Bill. You know, everything was from home and stuff. And this week, money is a little tight. I'm not gonna lie to you, so I gotta wait until I get paid. Which, you know, I wasn't gonna share this on the air, but I might as well go ahead. A student of mine, really nice kid, comes from a really nice family. Unfortunately, her house burned down. Early last week. So they lost everything. Like, you know, my student came in. I want to say the fire was Monday evening. I didn't see her until Thursday last week. And she came in and she wasn't even wearing shoes that she owns. So I figured, you know what? I had some money put aside for jiu-jitsu training for this month. But I was like, you know what? I think this kid and her family, they needed just a little bit more. You know, I can always train, you know, when I get paid and stuff. So I don't know if there's a GoFundMe account yet. But if there is, you know, I'd love, I'll probably share it on Twitter and Instagram. But yeah, you know, it's a family who's been in the district for a while. Like some of the other teachers have had this student's parents and their siblings. So I'm like, you know, I gotta help the cause here. You know, I'll have some more money to train next week.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. Priorities, definitely. And if you do get the information on a GoFundMe or some kind of crowdsourcing thing, please let me know. We'll share it out here on the show. That's horrible to hear, man. But, you know, hopefully, you know, since they're so ingrained in the community, they got some good people that are going to help them out, like yourself and others, and, you know, give them clothes and shoes and money and whatever else they need. That's a really tragic thing.
Yeah. And I can't imagine it. So, but, you know, she's in my class with a smile, you know, still being her peppy self. So, you know, anything I can do to help, I'll definitely let you know. And thanks, Bill, for always helping the cause, dude.
Yeah, I mean, that's why we're here. Like, what else are we gonna do here? We talk about fighting, we talk about whiskey, we do this all for fun. We get some people who listen. Like, why not help some people out along the way? Some positive news, Jeff. I've got some family in town. My sister and brother-in-law drove down from New York with their little baby, who's going to be 6 months old in 3 days, the day before your birthday. And it's just been awesome. Been awesome having, you know, a little baby in the house again. They came here with their dog, Marshall. It's been great having a dog in the house again. As most of you know, my dog passed away few years ago. So, and you know, raising a toddler and a dog just wasn't very feasible at the time. But now we're starting to feel like it'd be kind of nice to have a dog again. You know, it, you know, he hangs out here at the house while we all go out and do stuff. It's kind of cool having a dog all excited to see you when you get home from, you know, work or whatever. And Ariana has a blast with the dog, and they tire each other out. So that's a bonus. But, you know, it's been great, especially, you know, spending time with my little niece, Emily. You know, it's been awesome getting to see like some of these major developmental stages. She's like twice the size that she was the last time I saw her, just a few short months ago. So it's been good. You know, we've been having a good time. Diet way off the rails. Booze way off the rails. They brought me down some awesome spirits that I can't find down here. Then and they drove them down from New York. I don't know if I should admit that on the air. I don't know if that's legal or not, but here we are.
Yeah, with the restrictions. I don't think that's I don't think we can name brands yet, Bill.
Yeah, I'm not going to anyway, because I don't want other people looking for this stuff and it being hard to find. It's bad enough with Buffalo Trace sponsoring the Joe Rogan podcast. And now this liquid gold that I've treasured for so many years is so scarce all of a sudden. So damn you, Joe Rogan, and your horse tranquilizers. Whatever you're taking.
Bill, I'm so glad that Dave and Lisa and Emily are visiting you. Bill, speaking of visiting, before we transition into the MMA, I have a positive thing. It's not all doom and gloom, right? Bill, a buddy of mine just let me know on Sunday, a buddy from church actually, let me know that he's getting married in April, and it's in Florida, Bill. So, as if I needed any more excuse to come visit you again in 2022, now that I have some money saved up and I'm not, you know, broke like when I was 20. It took me 10 years, but I got some money saved up, Bill. I'm planning to be out there in April. I'm hoping that this is not... Actually, I'm kind of hoping this is around spring break, because then I can actually drive down there with my dad and maybe come and visit you guys. But I'm a fan of Plan B, Bill, because Plan B is I take a day off from work, I fly in on a Thursday night because the wedding's on a Friday, I rent a car, go visit you guys, drive to the wedding, it's an hour and a half, I think, from you guys, drive back, hang out Saturday, and fly back Sunday morning.
It sounds like a great plan. I've had to buy Plan B a time or two in my single days.
It's not, oh man,
it's not a fun thing to ask for at the pharmacy, but it comes in handy.
No, I think it's a crowning achievement to ask at the pharmacy, because they know what you were doing. So they should be like, you know what, this guy's got it together.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I guess it's the responsible thing to do. We got a bunch of people joining in the show now. Of course, we got Mark all the way from Australia. Not a great weekend of MMA for the Australians, but I'll tell you guys something. If you want to grab some MMA on the Rocks merchandise, you can do so through our friends at Team Reaper. Reaper1.co is the website. Of course, I'll put the direct link in the show notes. As always, you can grab some MMA on the Rocks t-shirts, tank tops, hoodies. I still don't have a hoodie, Jeff. I gotta reach out to my buddies at Team Reaper and have them send me a hoodie. It's starting to get below 70 degrees here in Florida now. You know, I need to
hoodie. You need a North Face jacket, Bill. It's freezing down there.
Yeah, we got to start investing and we got to start making beanies and other things. I think we'll probably have some new merchandise items. You know, somewhere down the line when I have time to collaborate on them. And, you know, eventually I'll get that other YouTube channel going, too. I think I have like 40 episodes pre-recorded now. I just got to get down to like editing them and actually posting them on the channel. So, yeah, if you want to grab some merch over the top under the influence, if you find yourself as either one of those things or both at any given time, then, you know, grab some MMA on the Rocks merch. You can also support local fighters like two of my personal friends and training partners, J.R. Ridge and David Mundell, who are both fighting this Thursday Bare Knuckle Fighting Championship. They both have merchandise available on Team Reaper's website. I own both of their t-shirts, and they're really nice. And J.R. is making his Bare Knuckle debut. Dave Mundell, you may remember, fought Hector Lombard his last time out, won a fight and lost the decision, if you ask me. And I will admit to you I'm biased, but I challenge anybody to watch that fight and tell me that Dave Mundell did not win. But, you know, corrupt athletic commissions and such. But, yeah, two of my good buddies, two of my longtime training partners. JR is actually my current boxing coach. And Dave, I've known for years and years. He's such a great dude and always an entertaining fight. So tune in for that. It's not confirmed yet, Jeff, but I should be in attendance as credentialed media covering the event. So Follow along on social media at MMA on the Rocks if you want some live BKFC updates this coming Thursday. And like always, root for my friends. What can I say? You know, I have friends in this industry. I want to see them do well. I want them to have success. And I want you guys to wish the same for them or root against them. Just watch, you know, tune in, be a fan. The Bare Knuckle app is like $4 a month. You know, that's worth it. You get every pay-per-view for that, too.
Oh, it's not going to be on the zone like everything else is nowadays, Bill?
No, I don't think Bellator's on there anymore either. I think they moved to Showtime. It's something I'm even less likely to pay for.
Fair enough.
But anyway, let's talk some MMA, shall we? We got Bruce tuning into the show. Rob Font has fallen down to Comic Sans level. He needs to work his way back up to Times New Roman. But he's never going to be
Helvetica.
Helvetica. All right. So we got... I get it because they're fonts.
Dude. Oh, man. That's funny. That's funny.
That's actually... Oh, man.
That's funny. I had to hear... I knew they were fonts, but I was thinking about like the essays that I'm going to have to put that one back next week. But that's that's good. Comic
that's,
Sans.
That's next level dad joke analysis right there, Bruce. I appreciate that very much because I do love a good dad joke.
Yeah, that was really good. That took me a sec. I'm tired. It's late in the evening, but
which reminds me, Jeff. I actually met a guy last week. He's he was a deaf gynecologist.
A deaf gynecologist.
Yeah, he was a really good lip reader.
Oh man.
All right. Bruce says you're welcome. Thank you, Bruce. Actually, I did really enjoy that. That was nice. I don't know if I agree with your font ranking though.
Yeah.
I actually do. I enjoy Comic Sans as a font. I'm a Comic Sans guy. I don't use it in any of my logos or anything. But I do like Comic Sans. I guess, is that considered like low grade fonts?
Yeah, I don't know. Because Times New Roman is what we use for our essays and stuff. But
you want to know a great tip for writing essays in at the college level, Jeff? I don't know if you ever use this one. So you're writing it in Microsoft Word, right? And it has to be like a page length. Say you need like 7 pages. So you write like 5.5 pages and then you do Control F and you put in a period and it'll highlight all the periods in your essay and you increase the font size of your period and it will extend the length of your essay like considerably.
Oh, yeah, dude. I used to do that in college all the time, man. I didn't do it in high school, but Bill, it was college. I had a scholarship. The stakes were different, man. So definitely had to do that. But Bill, before we go on, I did want to tell you about a woman who eats plants, but you've probably never heard of herbivore.
Oh, man. Speaking of herbivores, Jeff, you know why ducks can't go out to dinner?
No, I don't know why.
They're always arguing over the bill.
That was good.
This is gonna go downhill quick. We're 24 minutes in. We haven't even mentioned any of the fights. But let's talk. We're already talking about fonts. Let's talk about Rob Font and Jose Aldo here. I don't know what to say, man. So first of all, I told you guys last week, this is going to be one of those cards probably where a lot of people were going to pass on it because there's not a lot of, you know, big names on here past the main event. And it was probably going to be a spectacular card. And Jeff, did this card not deliver last week?
Oh my gosh, dude.
Or Saturday.
Aldo versus Font. The whole card was fantastic. I was talking about it with one of my coworkers today because he's a big fight fan too, dude. I think that you got the value of a pay per view event on the ESPN Plus app. Like, if you could go back and watch this entire card if you missed it. I can't think of any fight that I did not enjoy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, I had to watch this one broken up. I caught the main event live, and I went back and watched the rest on Sunday morning, you know, because I had family in town and stuff. We were out doing like Christmassy type things. Where did we go? We went.
You went to some farm.
Yeah, we did. We did do that. I don't know if that was Saturday or not. They were doing stuff like in the downtown where I live, like Christmas type stuff. They did like a tree lighting and, you know, drinking in the street, all kinds of merriment. So we were doing that. But yeah, this is a great card. And the other thing I said last week is you can't count Jose Aldo out, you know, like it's just a guy, the dude's a legend. Like he worked his way back. Like after he got beat by Max Holloway the second time, it's like, well, you know, that's probably the end for old Jose, even though he's younger than me. He's been fighting for 47 years. He's only like 31 somehow. It's a fact somehow, Jeff. Like, I don't know if he's like the Benjamin Button of MMA. Like, he's like getting younger as he goes on in his career. 31 years old, fighting 47 years. The guy's a phenom, man. And this was such a one-sided fight. I think two of the judges gave it 50-45. I gave, I think, the second round to Rob Font. You know, he was hanging in there with Aldo, but Aldo, man, just looked so crisp in there. He looked so good mixing it up. You know, just sniper like accuracy with the strikes. Rob Font's a tough dude, man. A lot of people would have given up after like midway through the third round there, and he stuck it out till the end. So credit to him for that. But give me your thoughts on this main event, kid.
Bill, fantastic fight from Jose Aldo. Bill, this fight reminded me of Aldo in the WEC days, man. And I thought I would never say that again. He was going for flying knees, landing stiff jabs, really nasty crosses, dropped Rob Font a few times. There are a few rounds that, Bill, you could convince me that some of these rounds were 10-8. Because it looked like Aldo was going to finish Font. I want to say in that first or third round, I can't remember off the top of my head, but there were a few rounds there where I thought the ref's going to pull him off this guy. And Rob Font, he's a tough customer, dude. Listen, he's ranked number 4 in the bantamweight division for a reason. And for Jose Aldo to do this, dropping from 145 to 135 later on in his career, I'm just amazed, man. By the performance from mm-hmm. Aldo. And Bill, you know, I know it's a little clogged up at the top of the division right now with Peter Yan and Aljamain Sterling having to settle their business. But man, if I were Aldo, I would just sit back and wait for right now, man. Mm-hmm. I think that that performance was absolutely a redefining moment in his career, man, because his last few fights, I was kind of wondering if 135 was the weight class for him, but dude, he looked like the Aldo of the WEC days.
Yeah. Especially for a guy, I was talking about this last week, a guy who for a while had a hard time making 145. So when he said he was cutting down to 135, when he's starting to get on in years, and by get on in years, I mean, you know, he had been fighting for 40 so years at this point at 30 years of age. And, you know, he's going to move down a weight class when he had a hard time making 145, but, whatever he did, man, he got the right nutritionist. He got the right, you know, discipline, whatever it is that put him in a title fight. As far as I'm concerned, you know, you win a main event, there's not a whole lot. There's not like a clear number one guy in the division after Jan and Sterling settle their, you know, whatever they got going on. What did you think about the size difference? Because we got our buddy Eddie Law from the Keyboard Warriors podcast, who, by the way, Jeff, is tuning in on Facebook right now. So I guess the ban is over, which, you know, ban us again, Facebook. I don't care. But what do you think?
Yeah, Bill, I'm going to have to start reeling you in or something, man. You're starting to become a rebel without a cause, Bill. Yeah, I was a little surprised because Font, you know, normally he's really, I feel like he's really tall for the division, but Aldo's just so dense. So I was a little surprised at how close they were in size, man. But Aldo, once he rehydrates and stuff, he's just a big dude, man. He's like a pit bull, man. He's just a bunch of mass.
Yeah, just like straight shredded muscle. He's built like Bruce Lee.
Yeah.
I get a lot of Bruce Lee vibes from Aldo. Yeah, so I guess we're on Facebook. Is that reason to celebrate? Because I'm it's a Monday, but I got family in town, so I'm living like I'm on vacation right now. But I got some Chattanooga whiskey here, Jeff. The Sarai whiskey. I believe this one, it was somewhere in the top 20 on Whiskey Advocate last year, which for those of you who keep track, Whiskey Advocate every year comes out with like the best whiskeys that were released in the previous year. So the current list just came out for whiskeys that came out in 2021. If you look up Whiskey Advocate, they started releasing them today. So they released like 10, 9, and 8 top whiskeys, and then they'll release one more each day, I think, up until Christmas. I think that's how they do it. But yeah, this Chattanooga Rye was on Whiskey Advocate last year, and it, you know, it's a pretty good staple. Like most times I tend to agree with the way they rank the whiskeys that come out. But yeah, Chattanooga whiskey, I really enjoy it, Jeff. This rye, it's like ryes are usually like have like a lot of spice to it, but this is super smooth. It's 99 proof, so it will kick you in the ass if you're not careful. But yeah, it's got a lot of those like nice, rich vanilla flavors, like toffee and all that good stuff. And it's not a terribly expensive bottle. I think you can get this rye for like 30 something bucks. And at my local liquor store, they were doing, if you bought two bottles, you got 10 bucks off. So can't pass up that deal. Obviously, I did not. I got this one, and I also got the 111 proof bourbon that they make. Really nice whiskey. You can see it's got that really like nice amber caramelly color to it. That's like right in my wheelhouse. Chattanooga. Obviously, they come out of Tennessee. Chattanooga, Tennessee. So go check that out. Check out the Whiskey Advocate. You can actually, if you enter your email address on their website, you have a chance to win the top three whiskeys of the year once they're revealed. So that's a cool thing too. Little whiskey nerding out here, Jeff. But what do you say? Should we get into more of this card here?
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, Mark, cover your ears because we have to talk about Rafael Fiziev and Brad Riddell. This was a great fight, very competitive. Obviously, Riddell is tough as nails. He just didn't seem to have an answer for Fiziev. You know, Fiziev seemed to have an answer for everything Riddell was throwing at him. You know, the grappling, the striking, everything. Like, Fiziev was just a step ahead. Mark said, stop talking or I'll ban you like Facebook did. I'm sorry, Mark. I got to do it. I got to talk about it because we got to talk about this finish, man. This spinning wheel kick, which was, you know, it's not very often I get to say this anymore. It was a great stoppage by Herb Dean. So I'll just go ahead and say it now when I have the opportunity. So Fazeev, not only did he time this kick perfectly, and he hit it like right on the mark, like the heel hit the jaw, but he hit it while Riddell was moving. And he even said in the post fight, he said, "I notice when he circles to his right, he drops his hand." So he knew, not only did he know he was going to step, he knew exactly where and when he was going to step, and he was able to aim and fire a spinning wheel kick, heel to jaw. And Riddell is so tough. I can't stress this enough. And especially for Mark, I'm going to keep stressing the toughness of Brad Riddell here. He did not want to go down, but it was one of these things. It was just a perfect setup. It was timed perfectly. He hit it right on the perfect spot. And that's it. And Riddell was like trying to stay on his feet. This would have killed a normal man, I think, Jeff. It's fair to say. But Brad Riddell, such a tough dude. You know, he was still trying to stay standing, but, you know, I don't know. Biology, physics, whatever those things. I didn't do well in any of those subjects in high school. Whatever it is that you attribute this to, that's what took over there. Give me your thoughts, Jeff.
Yeah, man, for sure. Dude, Fazeev, like you said, he had an answer for everything. And I think these guys used to train together as well. So, yeah, man, Fazeev, just, you know, the in-fight analysis, to be able to understand that pattern and everything. And I know that their history definitely helped as well. But Fazeev, man, just a tough dude. Really good fight IQ as well. But yeah, man, great fight. And, you know, as much as Fazeev had answers for Riddell, I felt like Brad Riddell, you know, he was never out of the fight by any means. But, man, that spinning wheel kick in the third round, like you said, good stoppage for Herb Dean. And Riddell was pieced up at that point. Mm-hmm. I thought it was a really good stoppage.
Yeah. Fazeev is a problem, man. I mean, we really got to see somebody, because you get to the top of this 155 division, which, you know, he's sneaking up on. You know, he's not calling anybody out. Called out Vince Vaughn, which, I don't think Vince Vaughn has been 155 pounds since the sixth grade. So that's not going to happen. I really want to see them put him in there with somebody who's going to test his grappling. Like, not a striker who can grapple like a Brad Riddell, but like someone with a really grappling heavy approach. Cause if you look at the top of the division right now, you know, you've got Charles Oliveira, who's defending the title next week. One of the best grapplers of all time. You know, leads the UFC in submission victories. You've got Islam Makhachev. Like, how would a Fazeev deal with an Islam Makhachev? How would he deal with a Beneil Dariush? You know, how would he deal with these guys that are really grappling heavy at the top of the division? That's what I want to see. And honestly, I don't even care to see. He was the number 14 guy. I think he just beat the number 12 guy. I don't care to see him against 10 through 5. I think move him right up. I think he's that good. I think he's that legit. I want to see him tested against one of these high-level grapplers at the top of the division. What do you think, Jeff? Am I way off base here?
No, Bill, I think you're right. I think it's time. And, you know, the 155-pound division is the place to do it right now. Mm-hmm. Because you know, you have guys like, you know, the after Oliveira versus Dustin Poirier, you know, things are a little quiet. So I think it's time, you know, mm-hmm. maybe not like a Michael Chandler type, but, you know, put him up there against somebody who's going to put him on the ground, and let's see what he can do.
So you're saying you don't want to see Michael Chandler versus Fazeev?
Actually,
kind of want to see that. Now that you said it, now that you planted the seed, That's kind of the one I want.
I don't know, man. I think I don't know if he's Michael Chandler ready, but
What? How are we gonna know?
Yeah, that's true.
How are we gonna know? I think that's a fun fight. That's a really fun fight.
Yeah, I don't think it's hard to Bill either with that highlight.
Nope. Nope.
All right, Bill. Let's make it happen. Let's talk to Joe Silva. Call him up.
Yeah. I mean, now that we're still on Facebook, like maybe the UFC will hear. Maybe we have that reach now. Real quick, I'll just kind of mention this one because I know it's gonna upset both you and Mark. Jamal Hill with just a nasty knockout of Jimmy Crute. That check hook worked for him both times. But Mark says he's a big fan of Jamal Hill because he offered to buy Crute beers. That's legit. You know, my concern last week for Jamal Hill was bouncing back from having his arm broken against Paul Craig. Obviously not an issue. The dude just got nasty close range power. That check hook was just nasty. And it didn't look like it hit that flush, but then Jimmy Crute got up and his eyeball was like on his cheekbone. And it's like, how did this happen from one punch that your whole face got rearranged? But, yeah. You know, somehow that's what happened. Give me your thoughts, kid.
Yeah, dude, Jamal Hill, so much power, dude. And Jimmy Crute was looking good. You know, it came out strong, came out, you know, like a bat out of hell. And Jamal Hill, like you said, that check hook with his power hand, dude, it was so nasty, man. Mm-hmm. Crute went down right away. I thought it was a good stoppage. And yeah, Bill, I'm a fan of check hooks. I think it's such a cool move. You know, you're backing up and just, you know, pang. Mm-hmm. And that's exactly what Jamal Hill did, man. And Jamal Hill, you know, he doesn't look as dense as some of the guys in his weight class. Like Jimmy Crute, he looks dense. So you mm-hmm. know he's got power. But Jamal Hill, he's just got that, like, natural power that that some of these not as leaned out guys have.
Yeah, he's got like that Deontay Wilder power. Just like he looks like a lanky guy, but you know he's just able, he's just able to generate that kind of nasty power. So very impressive knockout there. I gotta say, Jeff, the most impressive performance on the card has to go to Clay Guida.
Absolutely.
My goodness. 40 years old. 40 years old. Now imagine how you feel, Jeff. Just a few days removed from turning 30. Now here's Clay Guida, who is known for volume and speed and tenacity. The three things that dissipate first for aging athletes in any sport. He got his ass beat by a dude who looked a good two weight classes bigger than him.
Yeah.
For the whole first round. I mean, there was three or four times this fight could have been stopped in the first round. But I guess Keith Peterson, no nonsense Keith Peterson, knew who he was dealing with. Let it go on. And then Guida comes out and submits a high-level jiu-jitsu black belt. Just broke him. Straight broke him. Unbelievable is the only word I can think to describe this performance, Jeff.
Bill, when you texted me Sunday morning about what fights you were watching, man, that was my first response, was go watch the Clay Guida fight, dude. And this was the fight that I was talking about with my buddy this morning, because Clay Guida's mentality is just different, dude. Like, Bill, as a teacher, I see it. Some of my students, you know, it's not their fault. I blame society and culture and the internet and TikTok and Demi Lovato or whoever's on the radio. But, Bill, nobody is built like this man anymore, man. Yeah, and Clay Guida, he looks like an average Joe. And, Bill, you said it. You know, he was getting rocked. I thought the ref is going to call this fight. I had my head in my hands. I was like, no, not like this. But, Bill, something happened after about I want to say 3.5 minutes of the first round, where Clay Guida got up and his coach said to him, he's tired. And I'm looking at Leonardo Santos and I'm like, I see him breathing heavy and he's not throwing with as much power anymore. I'm like, I think this guy punched himself out. I think he's gassed. And Guida just turns it on, you know, finishes the first round really strong. And then in that second round, he was like a shark that knew that there was blood in the water, man. Just immediately takes him down, is you know, on top of him, looking for the finish. And Santos, he did a good job of defending. And somehow Guida ends up on his back. And just he just made it look so easy. I forgot who said this, but I think somebody said something about everybody turns into a white belt when they run out of cardio or when they have bad cardio or something. Mm-hmm. But man, Clay Guida, and then he's always talking about the wrestling and how much fun he has in the cage. Mm-hmm. You know, at 40 years old, this is still fun to him. He's like a little kid in there, dude. And Bill, the toughness that comes from being a wrestler, man. You can't make up for it. You can't teach someone to where they can make up that ground. Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't know what else to say, man. What a performance. For me, that was performance of the night, man.
Comeback of the year?
Yes.
I mean, I can't think of a better one. Like I thought this fight was a done deal. I thought it was over with. There's something about these high-level jiu-jitsu guys when they transition to MMA. You know, Rodolfo Vieira is another example. Maybe they're not used to cutting so much weight or not taking as much steroids. Whatever it is. I just threw a little heat at the jiu-jitsu community. Come at me, bro. You know what's going on. I follow this guy. His name is Derek. He has a YouTube channel called More Plates, More Dates. And the guy is basically like a steroids expert. He's like a bodybuilder. He studies bodybuilding. He knows like what drugs you have to take to, and he dabbles in MMA and jiu-jitsu. And his conclusion is basically like, jiu-jitsu is the most PED rampant sport on the planet. Holy He's Lord. Like, by far, jiu-jitsu guys are doing more steroids than any other sport. Which was, like, kind of made sense to me. Because if you look at the guys who are at the top of the grappling industry, they don't have very, like, natural-looking physiques. But, yeah, there's just something different, man, about coming to MMA. Like, and there's something different about like strikers coming to MMA too. Like it's just a different kind of lung capacity, you know, when you're so used to just grappling and then all of a sudden somebody's punching you, when you're so used to just punching and kicking and all of a sudden somebody's grabbing your legs and you're like, what the fuck is this? It just burns different in your body, you know? I've gone through it myself because I've gone through phases where I've been grappling a lot and then I spar striking and it, you know, I could grapple for an hour and be fine. And then I spar one round striking and I'm winded. Or, you know, I've gone through phases where I've done a lot of striking and then I roll one round and I'm like, oh man, this sucks. It's just a thing, man. Like it's a hard balance when you're so high level in one thing, it's hard to bring your level up on other things. Not a lot of people are able to blend that well. But yeah, credit to Clay Guida, man. And he's still saying the best is yet to come. After that first round, I wouldn't want to get back in there again, but he was all excited. He's got his UFC ring that his family designed for him. He's like all about it. All right, Chris Curtis, man. What can you say? This dude has finishing ability. He was the biggest underdog on the card against Brendan Allen. He was the biggest underdog on the last card against Phil Hawes. Finished both of them with strikes. I do not think he'll be as big of an underdog in his next fight, Jeff. Give me your thoughts.
Dude, Chris Curtis is nasty, man. He just has power. And Bill, he hit Brendan Allen with this nasty body shot, dude. And you could see his will broke, man. You know, he moved to the side a little bit and then he just went down. Dude, it seemed like he was fine. And, you know, as he's stepping to his right, you just see him fold up like an accordion. And, man, Chris Curtis jumped all over him, dude. What a great fight. Definitely go back and watch this one. I'm not going to lie to you, Bill. I kind of had Chris Curtis as an underdog. I thought Brendan Allen would win this one. But, man.
That's fair.
Chris Curtis will not be denied, Bill. I love it.
Yeah, it was an excellent performance. And, you'd be a fool to make him a large underdog in his next fight. All right, Jeff, for the sake of time, I'm going to breeze over the rest of this card, and then you tell me your favorites here. Alex Morano, unanimous decision over Mickey Gall. I thought this was a really fun fight. I thought Mickey Gall's striking looked very much improved. You know, he was hanging in there with Morano, but, you know, Morano's fight IQ was just, you know, so many steps ahead of Mickey's, and Mickey didn't use the game plan that would have been the best course for him. Like, he should have grappled a little more, I think. But, you know, he wanted to show that he can hang everywhere, and he could, you know, went the distance with Morano, who was, like, obviously a superior striker, but, you know, Mickey Gall hung in there. Dusko Todorovic. This is a fun fight for as long as it lasted, you know, very back and forth for the opening few minutes against Maki Pitolo. And then Todorovic gets on top, and just, man, his hip pressure and the way he was able to flatten Maki Pitolo out, very impressive. This dude is a beast. He's going to be a big problem at 185 pounds. Manel Cape finally, you know, living up to his hype a little bit. First round finish over Zalgas Zumalgalov. Brian Barberina, unanimous decision over the very last minute replacement Darian Weeks. Credit to Darian Weeks for stepping up on just a few days' notice. Cheyenne Vilsmas, is it Vilsmas, Jeff?
Vilsmas, yeah, kind of sounds like Christmas.
Vilsmas, all right. Merry Vilsmas to you. Formerly Cheyenne Bays, unanimous decision over Mallory Martin. Thick Willie, William Knight, getting it done over Alonzo Menifield. This fight was fantastic in the first round. That one combination that William Knight landed on Menifield, and then he just grabbed him by his face and threw him to the mat, was probably the most impressive thing physically that happened on the whole card to me. He just, like, took his face and he was like, get on the ground. And I have to credit Dan Tom, my buddy Dan Tom from MMA Junkie and the Protect Your Neck podcast, who I believe coined the phrase Thick Willy. And I was so happy to see his tweet get on the screen. I'm not a big fan of the tweets going up on the screen, and I don't live tweet during the fights that much anymore. But I was happy to see my buddy Dan Tom get up there and say he was siding with Thick Willie at the beginning of this fight, and see that on the screen. So shout out to Dan Tom. Such a good dude. Claudio Puelles, knee bar over Chris Gritsmacher. This was just a lack of defense by Gritsmacher, who, of anybody on this whole card, if you look at Chris Gritsmacher, you're like, that dude's a fighter. You don't have to know anything about fighting. You just look at him and like, this dude looks like half Neanderthal. Like, he must be a fighter. And then Vince Morales pretty much almost killed Lewis Smolka with that knockout in the first round. Give me your thoughts, Jeff. What jumped out to you the most here?
Bill, so first of all, I didn't realize how much of the card I actually saw. The only fight I missed was the very first prelim fight where Smolka got finished. But, dude, fantastic card. I couldn't pull away from my screen. Like, that's how good this card was. Every single fight was enjoyable. Although, I have my thoughts on Knight versus Menifield. I actually thought Menifield won because William Knight was exhausted after that first round, dude. Mm-hmm. I don't see why two rounds went to him. First round,
they both kind of were like two and three. I feel like they were just kind of both leaning on each other. Like the first round, I feel like was the only decisive round. Like two and three, they were both kind of like, "You tired, bro?" Me too.
Oh man, but Bill. The fight that I enjoyed the most, I'm going to be honest with you. For me, it was Claudio Puelles versus Chris Grootsmacher. Bill, Chris Grootsmacher had this fight in the bag. All he had to do was not sit on the ground. And that's exactly what happened. Puelles had so much time because he was looking for the leg. He was in turtle position and he kind of rolled to get Grootsmacher's leg in between Puelles' own legs. And he doesn't have it clean. And Chris Grootsmacher, you know, he's happy to be on the ground and he's throwing punches and stuff, but he's giving Puelles time to readjust. He must have given him like 30 seconds to readjust and lock up the knee bar. And then he eventually locks it up and Grootsmacher taps. Like, dude, all you have to do is stand up. Like that's how much adjusting Puelles had to do to lock up this position. Grootsmacher, man. He had one job.
And I hate to be critical, especially because of a dude who's like so game, like Chris Grootsmacher. Like this dude is a tough motherfucker, man. But that's like a knee bar is a pretty easy submission to defend. Like at this level, there's a reason you don't see a lot of knee bar finishes in MMA. The last one I can think of is Mackenzie Dern. And to be honest, that's one of the only ones I could think of. Like it's not something you should be getting caught with in MMA. And the reason that leg locks are so hard to pull off in MMA is because you need both hands to finish most leg locks. So if somebody stands up and starts punching in the mouth, you're going to let go with one of those hands to defend the punches, and then you're out of the leg lock. It's not something that should be happening at this level. But again, I have so much respect for Grootsmacher. Like this dude, he's a legit savage, man. Like nothing but respect for that dude. But, and he even knew, like after he tattooed, he was like, fuck. Like he knew he should have been able to get out of that, but it happens, you know, like you just end up in a position, like you think you're fine. And then, you know, the next thing, like you feel like a sharp pain, like who knows, could have had an injured knee or something. And he's just like, damn it. I gotta make the right decision and tap here.
Yeah. And Bill, that's the thing, man, is he was beating Puelles senseless, dude. Like he had this fight won if that third bell went off.
Yeah. He would have won a decision for sure. Do you have anything else on this card, Jeff, or you want to move on?
No, let's wrap it up, Bill. This is my birthday card, so I am excited for it. The UFC's right, taking dude. Care of me, Bill.
Well, happy birthday to you, because this card is awesome. There's one of these fights that I almost guarantee is not happening, but the rest of it looks awesome. So we got Charles Oliveira defending the lightweight championship against Dustin Poirier. This one for me, it's an awesome fight. I'm looking forward to it for sure. But there's part of me that's like, this belt is cheapened because Poirier had the opportunity to fight for it. He chose to fight Conor McGregor instead. Take the payday. What does that say about the championship? Like, you have a guy at the top of this division who's given a chance to be the champion of the world. And he's like, no, I think this is a better opportunity. So what have you done as the UFC to make this happen? Like why is the money fight more important than the title fight? And that's kind of what bothers me about this, but I can put that aside because this is an amazing fight. You have Charles Oliveira who has fantastic striking and he's willing to throw wild shit because he does not mind being on his back. And you have Dustin Poirier who is as solid as you can get in this 155 pound division in most divisions. You know, Poirier is just solid, man. He's consistent. He delivers. He's good everywhere. Like, he doesn't make a lot of mistakes. But is he a world champion? That's what we need to find out on Saturday night. What do you think, Jeff?
No, I'm so excited for this fight, man. And before Charles Oliveira, recent revelation in striking, man, he was tapping everybody. If he couldn't knock him out, he was tapping him. Mm-hmm. I mean, his jiu-jitsu is sick, dude. I think he's up there for most submission finishes in the weight class and like top three in all of UFC history, something like that. He's got like 15 submission finishes. But Dustin Poirier, he's so well-rounded, like you said. He can do everything everywhere. Bill, I'm so excited for this fight. And Bill, I hear what you're saying about the belt being cheapened, but I started feeling that way when the champion was not Khabib, just because he never lost the belt. You know, nobody ever beat him for it. He's undefeated. What is he, like 29-0? Maybe he's lost one round in his entire career.
Probably okay,
maybe two rounds in his entire
career. If you go back and look at the Gleison Tibau fight, that fight could have gone either way.
All right, maybe I'll give you two rounds in his whole career that he lost. But the point is, you know, it ever since then, you know, the belt, it feels not as heavy. But Bill, I'm glad Dustin Poirier took care of Conor McGregor first.
The belt's always been 16 pounds, Jeff. I don't think that's changed.
Yeah, but it doesn't feel like 16 pounds if it's not Khabib on top of you.
This is the 12 pound belt they're fighting for.
Yeah, dude. But dude, Bill, I'm kind of glad Poirier took the Conor fight. I mean, it was entertaining. And then, you know, he broke that leg a la Chris Weidman. You know, it reminded me of shades of Chris Weidman versus Anderson Silva there. So Bill, but I'm glad he settled the score with Conor McGregor. As you know, Bill, I'm not a big proponent of him. But Bill, let's look at the rest of his card.
Yeah. Yeah. But my thing is, like, if you ask most people, like, who don't follow MMA, like, who's the lightweight champion? Like, oh, that guy who beat Conor McGregor. Like, most people would probably think that. And they wouldn't maybe not even know Poirier's name. But, like, Oliveira's the champ, man. Like, he did it. Like, he did the thing. He beat Michael Chandler. He won the belt. And then not a lot of people talked about it since. Charles Oliveira is a bad motherfucker. And shout out to our boy, Henzo Altuda, who's tuning in all the way from Peru. Always appreciate you stopping by, my man. And if you guys speak Spanish, check out his podcast, MMA Fini. So, please do that. I can listen to it for the most part, but I miss out on some keywords probably. Jeff, you and I got to listen to it together so you can translate for me. Amanda Nunes defending one of her belts against Juliana Pena for some reason. That's all I got on that. We got Jeff.
Oh man. Bill, I don't know why this fight is even happening, dude. Juliana Pena hasn't fought in like 2 years or something.
There's nobody else.
I'm trying to think who I could even say who's of notoriety that Juliana Pena has beaten. I mean, she won her season of The Ultimate Fighter back when Ronda Rousey was coach with Misha Tate. What was that, like the first 2016, 2017, something like that?
I don't know. It doesn't matter, Jeff.
Bill, I'm trying to give you a reason to watch this fight, man. I'm trying to convince you why this fight is interesting. But
I can't get out of bed for this one.
Yeah, this Nunes is going to slaughter her like a sacrificial lamb.
Yeah. It's the only thing that I could see happening here is Nunes, like, knowing that and, like, not preparing. But even then, she slaughters her.
Yeah.
Like, this is not, I don't know. I don't give a shit.
Anything else? Look at the rest of this card.
Yeah. So Jeff Neal is supposed to fight Santiago Ponzinibbio. I would be really excited for that fight, except Jeff Neal got arrested for DWI. So I guess we don't need to talk about that fight, which would have been a lot of fun. I didn't know this was happening. Kai Kara France and Cody Garbrandt. That's exciting. Cody Garbrandt has had a rough couple of years. You know, he had COVID and then he had like a knee surgery and got like a really bad staph infection from it. Mm. And like, it just like kept getting infected. And then I think he got like an infection in his kidneys. And I might be making things up now, but he had a lot of medical issues since the last time he's been in there. But he's getting in there against Kai Kara France, who is this at flyweight or bantamweight, Jeff?
Yeah, they're fighting at 125, which I don't know, man. Cody Garbrandt's a thick dude. I don't know if I feel like he's going to be a walking head at 125, man.
Well, we thought the same thing about Jose Aldo, and look where we are now.
Fair enough.
So, who knows? Julian Paivia against Sean O'Malley. I don't have much on that. But my sleeper fight pick, Jeff.
Oh.
Now, you and I, they're probably going to be back-to-back, our sleeper picks, I have a feeling.
Yeah. I think so, too.
So I'm taking Josh Emmett, Dan Ige. This fight, holy shit. Two sluggers. These guys are going to go out and be slinging leather at each other until somebody stops moving.
Oh,
I can guarantee you that. And nobody's talking about this fight. That's my sleeper pick. And, Jeff, I have a sneaking suspicion what yours might be.
Please confirm. Bill, this is my first time seeing this on the card. The greatest bantamweight of all time.
TJ Dillashaw is on this card?
No. Bill, he barely made flyweight. What are you talking about? Listen, I'm so excited. The return of the bantamweight king. Bill, he's returning to restore order to the bantamweight division. The Pedro Munhoz. All right, so of course I'm joshing you, but for those of you who've been following the show for a long time, you guys know I love Dominic Cruz. I'm super excited, but Bill, I'm also a little worried because they're not giving him a hey, you haven't fought in about 2 years fight, right? They're not giving him a tune-up fight. They're throwing him right into the wolves against Pedro Munhoz, man. Really tough dude, really powerful striker.
Wait, was it 2 years since he's been knocked out since by Henry Cejudo?
I think so. I want to say it was 2019, maybe early 2020.
It was definitely post-pandemic because it was at the...
Yeah, there were like no fans, I think. And it was at
the Apex. Let's see. 2021. This is in March.
Holy shit.
It definitely feels like it was longer ago.
Yeah, between being fully virtual last year.
This is actually the shortest layoff of Dominic Cruz's career.
Holy shit.
I just made that up, but it sounds right.
You might not be wrong. Wow, okay, so I stand corrected. Dude, has it, I don't know, 2021 feels like it's been a decade long, and now it's going to be over in a few weeks. But, Bill, that's my pick for a sleeper fight. I think this is Dominic Cruz's chance to kind of trampoline to the top of the division, but the UFC is not going to make it easy for him. Pedro Munhoz is a really tough dude. But Bill, I'm excited, Bill.
You know, for a long time, I've been curious about Dominic Cruz against Aljamain Sterling. I would like to see that come to fruition at some point. Dominic Cruz against Peter Yan would be awesome as well. I'm going to breeze over the rest of this card, Jeff, and just tell me, you know, what sticks out to you just for the sake of time. We got Andre Muniz against Eric Anders. That's a fun fight. Miranda Maverick, who, you know, a lot of people considered fighter of the year in 2020. And then kind of fell off a little bit against Aaron Blanchfield. Alex Perez against Matt Schnell. Then we got Ryan Hall sneaking up on this card against Derek Minner. You know, Ryan Hall, not an ideal result in his last fight. Doesn't stay very active, but still super dangerous with those sneaky leg locks. And then we got Randy Costa, and who had an awesome fight in his last performance. Didn't come up the victor, though, against Tony Kelly, his first fight of the night. Anything else jumping off the page for you, Jeff?
Yeah, dude, I'm excited for
Augusta. Oh, sorry, Jillian Robinson and Priscilla Cachoeira.
Oh, that's a good fight to kick off the card. But, Bill, I'm really liking Augusto Sakai versus Tai Tuivasa, man. That's going to be a fun fight. Mm-hmm. Both of these guys like to go for the finish. So, Bill, I can – and Eric Anders, Andre Muniz as well. Bill, I can see a lot of these fights not going past – not going to a decision.
Yeah, for sure. I think we got another fun card on our hands, Jeff. So I think the UFC is going to deliver for your birthday, kid.
Yeah, man. I'm excited for Dominic Cruz to come back. For those of you who have been following the show for a long time, you guys know that I am a huge Dominic Cruz fan. I just like his story, you know, coming back from multiple injuries to crown himself king of the bantamweight division against TJ Dillashaw. I just love that story, man.
Do you think that'll happen? You think we're going to see Cruz Dillashaw too?
No. I don't know what's going on with TJ Dillashaw. He was supposed to come back. Did he come back?
He had an injury or something.
Yeah, and now TJ Dillashaw, he's got what's it been, like two and a half years that he's been suspended? So, and unfortunately, Bill, as much as I hate to admit this, Dominic Cruz is no longer in his prime. I don't see it materializing. As much as I love Dominic Cruz, I don't see him making a run to the title this time around.
Unless it's at heavyweight in Bellator, because he's around that age range. I think Dominic Cruz is about my age. So that's a depressing thought. In any case, this is a fun card, Jeff. So this is my birthday gift to you. This is this card. Bill. I put it together. I made sure Dominic Cruz was on it for you. I made some calls.
That's all I ever won.
I made sure he was on the prelims too, so you didn't have to pay to see him.
Yes.
Yeah, I don't know. Anything else you want to get off your chest? Because I went over time. Because I got family here that I told them I would do a 45-minute podcast. It's now an hour and 12 minutes. But anything else you want to?
Yeah, Bill, just one last thing. I'm really excited for this wedding. I'm excited to go see you in April, Bill. I'm excited for this card. And, Bill, my buddy from church was like, hey, listen. He, like, whispered to me on Sunday. He was like, listen, I didn't invite a lot of people from church, but you and your dad are invited to come. He's got the invitation. So, Bill, not a lot of people from my church are going to be there, so I might enjoy this wedding.
That'll be fun. So,
And I'll be able to see you guys. Maybe we can grab dinner or something, you know, if our dates don't line up very well. But, Bill.
Maybe we can party with Mr. Wilson.
Wait, huh? I'm not getting married.
I meant your dad, Jeff.
Oh, no, my dad's lame. You wouldn't like him, Bill. He's super uptight. He doesn't like doing things that are fun or
plot twist. He listens to the show every week.
Nah, he doesn't.
Damn it. That's Sorry, one listener Bill. We're missing out on. All right. Well, for the rest of you who do tune in, if you want to get a hold of Jeff or his dad, I guess, you can reach out on social media at @animal_Wilson, Twitter and Instagram. You guys know how to get a hold of me. It's at MMA on the Rocks everywhere on social media. You can catch me this Thursday at Bare Knuckle Fighting Championship. If you're going to be there, come say hello. I'm an approachable guy. I'll be there. Probably have a plastic lanyard thing. It's hard to miss me. You know, Jeff, I'm like, I just have a presence, they say. MMA on the Rocks merchandise. I already told you about all that. Like the show, subscribe, share, like whatever it is you guys do that keep us, you know, out there in the public. Please keep doing that. And Turn on your notifications so you can catch the show live. All that great stuff. I think that's it. That's all we got for this week. So until next time. Cheers, everybody. Goodbye.